How would you like to get all of your favorite NFL teams merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? Check out fanessentials.net. All you do is pick your favorite sports team, and every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. They find the sports gear so you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed full with some amazing gear. It makes a great gift idea for any sports fan. Prices start at just $34.99. Visit fanessentials.net and use the promo code FANTASY at checkout for 30% off your first month. Visit fanessentials.net to get all the essentials you need. Welcome, everyone, to the new Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Podcast for Week 8. So glad that you are with us this week. I am your fill-in host, Arthur Arkish. Our regular host, John Solly, is on leave right now, and we all want to congratulate him on having his firstborn. Very exciting news. But per usual, I am joined by our fantasy football expert, J.C. Talon. J.C., how's it going?
It's going very well. Great to be here.
Outstanding. And then also our excellent producer, Dan Mott, spinning the dials. And Dan may chime in once or twice throughout the program today as well. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I can't guarantee that any of my advice will be worthwhile, but I'll do what I can to kind of fill in the shoes of Mr. Solly being gone.
Well, that never stopped Arthur and me, so go ahead. Just jump in.
Yeah, I was going to say that the next person who is able to guarantee their fantasy football advice and get away with it probably be the first, at least, to do it successfully. So, anyway, it's good to have you gentlemen on board this week per usual, and we'll just kind of launch right in. But before we do, JC and I play in a Pro Football Weekly Fantasy League. I'm proud to say I am leading that league. JC is looking up at me, but
I'm number one in the power rankings. Just get that out there.
He is. He's been the hottest team in the league, and he's definitely nipping at my heels in the two spot. But JC, I saw you were able to pull off an interesting trade this week. Why don't you tell listeners what you were able to do and kind of your thinking behind it?
Okay, so I had Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, and I've been keeping a very close eye on that. Now, again, I'm not a professional scout. I'm just going by what I see. But it looked to me that Aaron Rodgers had been trying to force the ball into Nelson when he wasn't open. And it looked to me like Nelson is probably still a step slow from where he was. So, and I had Cobb and Nelson, and I really don't like doubling up on, unless it's a real dynamic duo, like maybe Crabtree and Cooper, you could probably live with that. But so I thought instead of playing the guessing game and maybe trade one of them, and I thought Nelson, A, might have more trade value and B, might have less upside than Cobb. So I looked around and I saw a guy had Allen Robinson. And I thought to myself, well, he probably is not very happy with Allen Robinson, right. Just like I'm not really happy with Jordy Nelson. So I threw out the offer to him, and he bid on it. And I just, I don't know how it's going to work out. Either one of them could bounce back or neither one of them could bounce back. But I kind of like rolling the dice with Robinson because I think he's healthier, and I think he's right now a little more dynamic receiver. But you never know. Always roll the dice. We'll see where it goes.
Okay, interesting. I like the kind of the process, thought process behind it, and that you had Randall Cobb too. And it's an interesting one because Jordy Nelson, coming off his injury, sometimes they get stronger in the second half of that first season back. But he did. He was the beneficiary of a bunch of early season touchdowns that have kind of spiked up his point total. And we have to assume Allen Robinson has an even higher ceiling. So that'll be a fun one to see how it unfolds. I know they're two of the more frustrating fantasy figures across the league in recent weeks. So on that note, we'll just jump right into the action. Not going to worry about the Thursday night game. We'll go right to London Sunday morning. Washington versus Cincinnati, a couple 2015 playoff teams obviously looking to get going again. And JC, what jumps out to you in this matchup? I guess the one big injury update is Matt Jones. We don't know what his status will be, but how do you kind of see this one shaking out, or who are some of the better plays for you?
Well, the other big one is Jordan Reed. If he plays, and he's planning to play, but he has not been cleared yet. But if he does play, he's a top three or four tight end, even against Cincinnati, just because he's so good. He's matchup proof, I think. And then on Cincinnati, You know, it's interesting. Bernard and Hill, I've been writing about this the last 2 weeks. It's perplexing. You don't know which one's going to go. If you have one, I would play one of them. If you have both and you're asking me, I can only play one, I'm not sure what to do. Hill certainly put up much better points last week, but Bernard has outtouched him 3-1 in the last few weeks. So that's a tough one. I guess my instinct would be Hill's a little bit better play. I think A.J. Green is an excellent play. I do not think Washington is as bad defensively, but they certainly have their lapses. So I think Cincinnati is a good play. Washington, I wouldn't shy away too much, but there's really not a lot to love. Kirk Cousins, Jordan Reed, the receivers, they spread the ball around too much. And then, as you mentioned, Arthur, you've got a little bit of disruption at the running back position right now.
Yeah, and the point total on this one, 47.5. You know, I appreciate you mentioning Jordan Reed. I don't know how that one went over my head. He's obviously missed the past 2 weeks with the concussion. And then on the other side, another kind of injury-riddled tight end, Tyler Eifert. I was the genius who told everyone to rush him back into your lineup for his 2016 debut last week. That was a disaster. Do you sense that this will be a better opportunity for Eifert, or are you in wait-and-see mode?
Well, I do. I'd play him if let's say one of your regular tight ends off. I don't. It's almost like Gronkowski a few weeks ago. Remember, he came in, he got limited snaps. Then the next week, he did caught a couple passes, and now he's back to being Gronk. I think Eifert will get there. Will it be this week? I wouldn't be afraid to do it. And I'm in one league where somebody had waived him and I put in a claim. I'll find out tomorrow if I get it. But I think he's definitely worth having, and I think he'll get stronger as the season goes.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And that was kind of my thinking in telling people to get him in there was don't be scared by what you saw with guys like Gronk and Jamal Charles, because the Bengals are a little bit more desperate. And then sure enough, Jeremy Hill goes nuts and they didn't really need him last week at all. So moving on to the highest point total of the week, of course, is Green Bay heading to Atlanta. This should certainly be an interesting one at 52.5. The Packers don't have any healthy cornerbacks. The Falcons have their own injury concerns with Tevin Coleman and a defense that just isn't getting the job done. How do you foresee this one playing out, JC?
Interesting, because I format my column the week before, right before the game start, and then I go back afterwards, and you know, I kind of have an idea of who I think are going to be the good matchups. And funny, before Green Bay played the Bears and Atlanta lost to San Diego, I was thinking this would be a blowout, that Green Bay was sputtering, Atlanta's defense was on the come, that this would just be a blowout. And now sort of the mood of everyone, including me, is, oh, this could be a lot of points scored here. I wouldn't read too much into three touchdown drives by Aaron Rodgers against the Bears in that second half. The Bears are depleted. They are short-staffed. They were undermanned, and the Packers just got it rolling at the very end. I don't know if that'll continue. I would lean toward the Atlanta side of the ball. Obviously, with Coleman banged up, Devontae Freeman was on the list too, but I'm sure he's going to play. He'll be a great play. Definitely play Matt Ryan. Julio Jones is probably your best receiver of the week. You go over to the Packers side of the ball. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers, you definitely play him. Who are you going to play beyond that? I don't know, Arthur. I ask you. You got four receivers, all of them capable of having big days, all of them capable of getting shut out. You don't know what the running back situation is. So the kicker and the quarterback are safe plays. Outside of that, you're rolling the dice.
Yeah, it is a bit of a dice roll. I do think, as hot as Devontae Adams was last week, and it does seem like he has started to at least garner a bit more trust from Aaron Rodgers, I think you're probably going to have him in your lineup. Obviously, Jordy Nelson will be in the lineup as well, and Randall Cobb. So, yeah, I mean, you got to ride them while they're hot, and although it was taking advantage of a bad Bears defense, I actually see a lot of similarities in this Falcons defense, so I wouldn't be surprised to see the Packers keep it rolling. It'll be interesting to see what the Falcons can do. You know, that backfield has just diversified the offense so much, but without Tevin Coleman, I don't think you're going to suddenly want to rush Stephen Ridley into your lineups or anything like that. So it'll be interesting to see if someone can take the heat off of Julio Jones and mentioned, Julio Jones did go off for about 250 in his last meeting with Green Bay, and that was when they were healthy at corner. So that'll be fun to see for sure.
Yep.
Moving on to Houston, we've got the Lions visiting the Texans. We've got a over-under at 45.5, and Matt Stafford, one of the hottest quarterbacks in the league, and Brock Osweiler, arguably the worst, JC.
Yeah, I think Osweiler and the 17-plus million he's getting a year looks a little dicey at this point. On the other hand, I think if he was going to get well and have a game, he has thrown for two touchdowns every time he's played a lesser defense. And so I think you can get two or three out of him this week. I think it'll be a bounce-back game for him. Detroit's best cornerback is on the mend, may not play. I love DeAndre Hopkins in this game, and I think he'll go off. If he doesn't, then I think Will Fuller will, and it's possible both of them have very good days. Also, a local Chicago product, C.J. Fedorowicz, has, I believe, 27 catches in the last 4 weeks. He's been their leading receiver. It's been when they've been in desperation mode, however. So I don't know if that continues or not, but if he's on the waiver wire and you need a backup tight end, I would definitely pick him up. Lamar Miller should have a good day. On Detroit's side of the ball, a lot of it's going to come down to Riddick and Ebron. Are they going to play? They're back at practice today. They're both pretty good offensively. Golden Tate has come on the last 2 weeks. Marvin Jones, he's a definite play. And Matthew Stafford. I mean, Texans defense is good. I don't know if it's great, and I would not hesitate to play Matthew Stafford.
All right. Now, before our listeners start calling JC a homer for mentioning the C.J. Fedorowicz local angle, let's point out that the Lions are still the worst defense in the NFL covering tight ends. So it is reasonable to think Fedorowicz can continue what he has done. And worth mentioning with Will Fuller that he did return to the lineup in a full role last week after being very limited the week before. And I do tend to agree with you. With Detroit's cornerback situation, it looks like Johnson Batamosi, a longtime Cleveland Brown special teams player, could get a look on the outside opposite Nevin Lawson. So if DeAndre Hopkins doesn't go off this week, then I would be concerned about what's going on there. Texans undefeated at home, so this will be an interesting one. Let's move on to Seattle and New Orleans. Certainly there should be, well, this is an interesting case of a team you would assume is really kind of matchup proof in Drew Brees' Saints, and then you've got the Seahawks coming to town off that Monday night football tie and probably the best defensive performance we have seen all season. It's pretty amazing in New Orleans, the point total with Seattle coming to town still at 48 right now. JC, can Drew Brees move the football on this Seahawks defense, and kind of what jumps out at you in this matchup?
Well, I think Seattle will win the game, but from a fantasy perspective, you got to think about Drew Brees probably going to be trailing most of the game. He's going to be throwing a lot. Not that he wouldn't anyway. If they're up 30, he'd still be throwing.
Right.
So
right.
He's going to throw a lot. And he's just too good to sit. I mean, unless you have Tom Brady, if those are your two quarterbacks, I would recommend you trade one of them and get a haul on that. But you're going to play Drew Brees. Brandon Cooks has really come on. He's looking great. Mark Ingram, I think he's a reasonable play, especially with six teams on bye. Kobe Fleener is a guy I might shy away from this week just because there might be better options because of that matchup. On the other side of the ball, if Russell Wilson doesn't put up some points this week, you have to wonder if he's ever going to put up any points. Clearly hampered by knee and ankle injuries. Guy's a gamer, but he's definitely hurt. Jimmy Graham is one of your better tight end plays. I think Doug Baldwin has a chance to get back into it. And Christine Michael, top 10 running back. So a lot to like in this game.
Yeah, I've got Russell Wilson as QB7 this week, and Drew Brees right behind him is QB8. That's probably as low as Brees has been or will be at any point this season, I would have to think. But an interesting matchup, and I have to think that Jimmy Graham going back to New Orleans is going to be highly motivated, especially coming off that horrible offensive showing for the Seahawks last week. And one more name to throw out there, Michael Thomas, the Saints' second-round rookie, has been absolutely outstanding. Really whatever they do with him, and I do think he's going to largely avoid Richard Sherman, so I wouldn't be scared to get Michael Thomas into the lineup. Let's head over to Orchard Park in Buffalo. That will the site of the Patriots coming to town, this time with Tom Brady, a point total of 47. The Patriots are 6-point favorites, and JC, Rex Ryan said this week that he doesn't know if he has ever seen Tom Brady better than he is right now. What say you?
Yeah, I agree. Can you believe it? I mean, he just comes off 4 weeks. He's how old is he now? He's 39.
So, I believe.
He just looks fantastic. Gronk looks unstoppable again. Martellus Bennett, you know, not quite as much as he was, but I wouldn't count him out. He's always he's going to be open because Gronk is going to get so much attention. Edelman had a good week last week. LeGarrette Blount, I mean, there's a lot of solid plays on here. On the other side of the ball, you know, you don't know what's going on. My guess is McCoy won't play. Gillislee is also banged up, but I think he will play. He might be a reasonable, maybe, you know, number 20 running back this week. As far as the receivers go, but Buffalo doesn't bring anything. Tyrod Taylor would certainly be a lower-ranked QB this week. So go long on New England. And I also remember New England lost to Buffalo earlier in the year. And even though that was without Brady, I think there's going to be a little bit of a payback element here. I think New England's a much better team. I think it'll be fairly one-sided. Doesn't mean there's no opportunity on the Buffalo side, but I think points will be hard to come by.
Let me ask you, JC, you're a LeSean – I don't know if you are. I'm just saying hypothetically, you own LeSean McCoy. You suffered through that, 12-yard output, whatever he did last week, just absolutely nothing on 6 to 8 carries, whatever it was, before re-injuring his hamstring. If he's a game-time decision again, do you have the stones to roll with him again against the Patriots, or is this a week where you kind of say, let's sit out and see what happens, and hopefully I don't get burned again?
Yeah, the second one, unless I had zero options. I mean, I think
right.
Rex Ryan is no genius, but he's got to be smarter than hamstrings. As we all know, once they go, they really got to heal or they'll just keep going. And I think they learned last week he's got to sit out. If he doesn't, he's a very good chance of reaggravating it. He won't be 100%. The defense is going to be out for blood. They're probably going to be trailing. I would stay away if I could.
What do you think about news that Deion Lewis could return to practice this week? We've seen James White do a pretty good impression. Do you think that allows the Patriots to proceed with that much more caution, or is Deion Lewis maybe a dark horse waiver claim over the next week or so?
Yeah, I think he's definitely worth it if you got a spot on your roster. You know, I'm always a little hesitant with New England backs because you just never know what's going to happen. I mean, LeGarrette Blount goes off 1 week. He gets 4 carries the next week, but they still win. But he's certainly a guy to keep an eye on because he's dynamic. They love to use him in the passing game. If you're in a PPR league, definitely. And we just have to see. It's one of those, on one hand, wait and see. But if you wait too long, somebody else is going to grab him.
Right. And one more name I'll throw into that conversation since they're on bye this week and we're not going to talk about him much. But Ladarius Green, Steelers tight end, probably ready to make his debut with the black and gold coming out of the bye, and another name to think about because Big Ben is reportedly not far behind and might have an opportunity to add another real big play element alongside Antonio Brown in that offense. But let's move it along to what should really be a riveting showdown between Josh McCown and Ryan Fitzpatrick. We have an over-under of 43.5 in Cleveland and also a even World Series matchup heading back to Chicago. But for fantasy football purposes, JC, what do you think? Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brandon Marshall donning the Fitzmagic 2.0 shirts this week. And as I said, it sounds like Josh McCown is back in the fold for the Browns. What do you make of this one, other than that it should really be tough to watch?
Well, I was going to say, if you're going to watch this game, you're going to need your eyes with those toothpicks to hold them open, right, you know, like they do when they're torturing people. This is a terrible game, but from a fantasy perspective, it might actually not be bad. Josh McCown is coming back, so you might have some value in Cleveland. Gary Barnage springs to mind. Terrell Pryor, given his hamstring, that's a little iffy, but if he's healthy, he would be a good play. Jets have a pretty good run defense. I don't know if Crowell is going to be a great play, but you might look at some Browns receivers. Now, again, that's a value thing. I wouldn't rank them in my top 10 or anything. And on the other side of the ball, Ryan Fitzpatrick should actually have a good day, and Brandon Marshall is a must start, and Matt Forte should have a good game. So this is really a bad football game, but it has some interesting fantasy value.
JC, I was lamenting off the air about guys that I kind of let go too soon this year. And frankly, I could fill a 12-hour podcast, much less a 45-minute one, talking about it because I have made some bad mistakes. But Terrell Pryor was near the top of that list. He was on my week one roster, and I just didn't have the patience to hold on. Pryor is reportedly healthier and I think has a chance to really finish strong in the second half, especially if they find a little bit of stability at quarterback. I want to bring in Dan Mott for a second. Dan, I know you follow Matt Forte pretty closely, and I was also lamenting with you off the air about how he was on my bench last week because I was just pushing all the wrong buttons last week, clearly. But what do you think with Fitzpatrick now back in the lineup and Forte coming off a big game? Do you think he finds a way to sustain it? It seems like the formula is give him 30 carries and just keep feeding him until something breaks. How do you anticipate Forte finishes up his second half in New York?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth, you know, obviously if you have him, you're going to want to play him. I think he's a good flex because I think with Fitzpatrick coming back, he's going to want to throw the ball more, I would imagine. I mean, especially when you have, you know, people like, you know, players like Marshall and you know, and Nunwa down there, I just don't see, I don't see them handing the ball off as much. But, you know, I would be comfortable using him as a flex option and just, you know, if taking your chances on him and hopefully we see him have a pretty decent, you know, second half of the season.
Yeah, Forte, interesting. He actually did get in the end zone as a receiver last week as part of his huge day, and Bilal Powell, for whatever reason, was pretty much non-existent. So I don't have a ton of, you know, RB1 or even RB2 with huge upside confidence in Forte the rest of the way, but I do have a really nice ranking. I have him as RB6 this week. We'll call it the Cleveland Browns effect and the coming off a big game effect. Should be interesting to see.
And Arthur, we joked off air, too. I mean, for those that are that have McCown and that are considering playing McCown, you know, we joked about McCown staying healthy for this entire game. You know, it's likely he comes back and then he gets hurt again.
So I
think that you know, if you're in a position where you have to play him because you know there's a lot of teams on bye this week, so you may need to play him. But I don't know, I'd stay away from that as much as you could.
Yeah, perhaps it's just a streaming option. He is at home, and this Jets defense has been pretty atrocious versus the pass. So maybe as a sneaky streamer or DFS play, you could do worse. But if you're, you know, looking to count on Josh McCown for a weekly basis moving forward, then I wish you the best of luck in that endeavor. Moving on to Oakland, Tampa Bay, another high over-under total. We've got it 49. The Raiders back on the road, back in the state of Florida. JC, Derek Carr wasn't very good last week. It seems like the Raiders, I don't know. I don't know what to really make of this team. And then on the flip side, it seems like maybe Jameis Winston and that Bucs offense perhaps starting to figure some things out.
Yeah, I actually like both sides. I mean, it's very rare that a team rolls every week. Even the Patriots are going to have a hiccup. I would not hesitate. I love the matchup for Oakland. I love the matchup for Tampa Bay. You've got four very good plays on Oakland, and unlike teams like Green Bay and Washington, who spread the ball over the place and drive you crazy, you can pretty much depend on Derek Carr. You got Crabtree, Cooper, and Latavius Murray. They're all great plays. The only other guy you might consider is Janikowski on Tampa Bay. I think Winston is a good flex option. Oakland, I believe, still is giving up more yards than anyone in the NFL. Mike Evans, come on. I mean, he's got to be one, two, or three. He's probably right behind Julio Jones. Jaquizz Rodgers, Doug Martin's not going to play again this week. He's a good play. And Cameron Brate is somebody you could think about plugging in your lineup. I wouldn't have him top five, but if your tight end's on bye, he's a good replacement.
Yeah, I have Mike Evans as the third. I have him third overall this week and as my WR2. So that is the highest I think I have had him slotted probably in his young career, and should certainly make for an excellent play against that Raiders really susceptible defense. As far as the Bucs, though, do you think, JC, is there anyone that maybe can take advantage? Vincent Jackson was not making an impact before he went to injured reserve. Russell Shepard came on with a nice game last week, but do you see anyone who can be a consistent opportunistic option outside of Mike Evans and kind of all the coverages that they may get with Evans kind of reaching sort of a dominant form now?
I think, honestly, I hate to cop out because my quick answer is really no. I don't see one. But I think Cameron Brate might get some more open over the middle because of the double coverage Evans will be getting. You got Humphreys, I mean, I suppose. But there's nobody out there that I'd be tripping over myself to go get off the waiver wire.
Yeah, I'd agree. And JC, please don't ever apologize for being honest here. The rest of the they haven't done a good enough job building around Mike Evans just yet. So
I'd like to give somebody a waiver wire gem, but I think you're not going to find him on Tampa Bay.
Right. Yeah, I think we just identified, though, what will be one big offseason need for the Buccaneers. They have to get more help for Jameis and for Mike Evans. Quickly on the Raiders side, I'm going to come back to you, Dan Mock, because we were talking about this off the air. Latavius Murray, you waited a couple weeks with him on the bench dealing with turf toe. He gets back in the lineup. I know he may have still been on yours and my bench last week, but did find the end zone a couple times. There was some concern with those rookies in DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard splitting into his workload. But do you think now that Latavius is healthy again, he's a guy I assume you have to roll with? It seems like he was able to get some things going for that Oakland ground game last week.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I think he has a favorable matchup against Tampa Bay. I mean, I think that Tampa Bay's defense won't give up as many points as Jacksonville did last week. I mean, he put up some big points against Jacksonville last week. But I think that it's a decent matchup, and I definitely think if he's healthy and ready to go this week, which it appears that he is, you definitely want to get him in your lineup.
Yeah, I'm with Dan Mott on that. I will add, I think it was Pat Fitzmaurice, who's a contributor to our Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football magazine. I think I saw him on Twitter this week say something about how touchdowns are a great cologne. And I think that that's a good sort of analogy as it relates to Latavius Murray, because I think he's still hovering somewhere around like 3.5 yards per carry. But he does seem to get their goal line work. And the Raiders, for all their faults, are a high scoring offense. So maybe he's the kind of guy that a lot like Melvin Gordon, as we were talking about off air, even if the efficiency isn't there, as long as they're going to get the scoring chances, I think you have to roll with them. So that will be an interesting matchup. Let's move it along to the Chiefs visiting the Indianapolis Colts. We have an over-under of 50. The Chiefs are 3-point favorites, and I'm a frustrated Travis Kelce owner. I know there's a lot of frustrated Jamaal Charles owners. JC, is this an opportunity for one or both of them to get going against a Colts defense that's pretty much defenseless?
Yeah, actually playing a little bit better, but I agree with you, not a good defense. Kelce, I'm sorry, I still like him. He's talented. A lot of the offense goes through him. He's bound to break one of these weeks. Perfect buy low candidate. I think Jeremy Maclin could have a decent day, and he's another guy who has not performed. And Spencer Ware is a guy who has performed. He should perform again this week. I wouldn't be shocked. Of course, you're never shocked in the NFL anymore. But I wouldn't even be surprised if Indy won this game. They're playing better. And so I would definitely play Luck. I definitely have him as one of my top-ranked QBs. T.Y. Hilton is on fire. Jack Doyle, that's a guy that a lot of people know already because I looked. He jumped up on the owned percentage. And then Vinatieri, obviously he's a must-start this week. I think I think you said the over-under was 50. That tells you what the odds makers think, that both these teams can score points. So you got a lot of fantasy options here.
Yeah, back on the Chiefs side, I have Spencer Ware as RB4 this week, Travis Kelce as tight end 5, Jeremy Maclin as WR19. JC, let me bring it back to you on the Colts. What would Dante Moncrief's return to the lineup mean for Andrew Luck's outlook the rest of the way? What would it mean for T.Y. Hilton, Jack Doyle? How do you kind of envision Moncrief getting assimilated back into that offense once he's ready, which sounds like it could be as soon as this week?
Yeah, so if he's back and he's healthy, I think it really pumps up Luck's stock. T.Y. Hilton, I don't think it's going to hurt as much as it might have if Moncrief only been out a week. But Luck and Hilton have established a connection, and so I think when he comes back, this is my belief that Moncrief will go back to being number two and Hilton will stay number one, but it will open up more options on that offense, and you might see Indy getting back to where they were a few years ago, where they're a really dynamic offense that you can count on week to week. So I think Moncrief, obviously Dorsett was a huge drop-off for Moncrief. I don't think they thought he would be, but he was, and Moncrief would mean a lot to that offense.
Yeah, he really – that was a disappointing timing on his injury because it seemed like he was starting to figure things out a little bit, and he's such a unique talent with his size and leaping ability and kind of touchdown acumen. So if he gets back in the mix, it could really give that Colts offense a boost, as JC said. Let's move it along to the late afternoon slate. We've got the Chargers visiting the Broncos, a unique situation where division rivals sync up twice in a three-week span. The Chargers are a scrappy team, if nothing else. We all had them buried just a couple weeks ago. Suddenly they have two straight wins, including the dramatic come-from-behind victory in Atlanta. And the Broncos got some tough injury news today with C.J. Anderson potentially going down for the season. Let's talk Broncos first, J.C. How capable is Devontae Booker to slide right in? Certainly he has shown flashes, but do you trust him to kind of be the guy if he's forced to moving forward?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything that would tell me he couldn't be. He's had two good weeks in a row, and I think he's not available in a lot of leagues. If he is, people are all over it now. I would say that he should pick up right where C.J. Anderson left off. Denver's going to get some carries to another back, so it might create some waiver opportunities there. I also, San Diego's defense is not very good, but San Diego always plays Denver tough. Doesn't it seem like that? I mean, they just beat them a couple weeks ago. So in this game, I really wouldn't shy away from the Chargers either. But the Broncos should have a good day. Demaryius Thomas, I think, is starting to get a connection with Simeon a little bit. And Emmanuel Sanders is a good play. And Booker, I think, is a great – I think you got to put him in the top 10 of running backs this week.
Yeah, I think so, too. I will say, I don't know how they're doing. I mean, Joey Bosa obviously has been playing like his hair's been on fire, making up for lost time. And, the Chargers defense actually has been sneaky good in recent weeks, but you're not going to shy away from this matchup for that reason. As JC just made a good point, I think that back that maybe if you're looking now for a new handcuff is really kind of a deep, deep sleeper. I think it would be Capri Bibbs will get the opportunities behind Devontae Booker. And we should mention, I think we probably have on this podcast in recent weeks, even before Anderson went down, it looked like this backfield was trending the way of the rookie Devontae Booker. So he's a guy who can do
Capri Bibbs, or is that a football player, or is that a new fashion trend? I'm trying to
it could be both. Maybe after someone listens to this podcast, it'll become a fashion trend. For now,
something my daughter would come home with. Look at my new Capri Bibbs.
For now, I think he's just the guy that made Ronnie Hillman expendable, and we'll get to Ronnie Hillman in a moment. There actually may be some fantasy relevance for him now, too. Yeah. But, one more name, and this is just kind of in the deep sleeper realm. The Broncos just sent off a fifth-round pick for a tight end from the Patriots, A.J. Derby. So if that's the biggest trade before the deadline next week, there won't be a ton to talk about, but just a name to file in the back of your head. We know how John Elway values his draft picks, and he did deem that A.J. Derby could help potentially enough to give up a fifth rounder. So, and then just quickly back on the Chargers side, it sounds like Tyrell Williams, who has been dealing with an injury this week, is going to try and give it a go. And I guess the other big name here, we already mentioned Melvin Gordon, his touchdown dependency. This would be a tough matchup for him, but what do you make of Hunter Henry? It sounds like he's back to practicing after the concussion last week. Is he a guy who at this point is kind of matchup proof if he's healthy, JC?
Yeah, that's news to me, Arthur. So he was back on the practice field and he's cleared the concussion protocol because it was interesting. I was streaming the online the San Diego Denver game, and Henry just disappeared. Didn't realize that he had a concussion, and then all of a sudden, Antonio Gates started getting some catches. I think Henry. I said this a few weeks ago. I all the respect in the world to Gates, but I think he's out of gas. If Henry is ready to go, he is clearly the more dynamic option. He's faster. He can create more disruption to the defense. So, yeah, I like Henry, even against the Broncos. Remember, he scored against them 2 weeks ago and had a really nice day. So, yeah, I like Hunter Henry. I would also play Phillip Rivers. I wouldn't hesitate. I think this will be a good game.
Great call. I had forgotten it. Gosh, it was so recent. I don't know how I did, but Hunter Henry did have a big day, I believe, against the Broncos just a couple weeks ago. So we'll see if he can make it all the way back. It does seem like it's trending in the right direction. Just a couple games left here to roll through. We are on to the NFC title game rematch, and the Cardinals coming off that crazy overtime tie, heading out to the Panthers, who are officially taking their last breaths if they're going to try and salvage this season. JC, your thoughts on Carson Palmer going to face a defense that people have just been destroying, but he will do it potentially shorthanded. They do have some injuries going on in that receiving core now.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that Carolina is actually a 3-point favorite in this game. Does that surprise you guys?
It does me,
yes. Yeah, I would have thought Arizona would be the favorite. Carolina's defense just doesn't scare anybody anymore. I think you got to play your Cardinals. Obviously, John Brown is probably not going to go. David Johnson, probably the number two running back this week, if not the number one. Carson Palmer has been struggling. If he's your best quarterback, play him. If he's not, don't. I would call this matchup for him maybe middle of the road, average. It's not a positive or a negative matchup on Carolina's side of the ball. Boy, I don't know. Arizona's defense has really been playing well lately, but I have a feeling that that Cam is going to get his act together, and I don't think it's going to be a 6-6 tie. I'll just go out on a limb here and say I think there'll be some points scored. I wouldn't be surprised if both teams got in the 20s.
Okay, yeah, point total 47.5. As JC said, Carolina is giving 3 points, and I agree. That's interesting. The only kind of thought I can come up with, or the only kind of reasoning I can come up with that, is Arizona on a short week after just getting the absolute tar knocked out of them offensively by the Seahawks. So maybe they're just assuming Carolina coming off the bye week is the more rested team. But just staying on this one for 1 second, you know, it's clear Cam Newton's not – he's not replicating his MVP numbers, but what do you think about Cam Newton the rest of the way? Is he a guy who's going to be a weekly difference maker, or do you think he's taken one too many hits and it could be a problem the rest of the season?
Yeah, I could see it going either way, but we're here to give advice, so I can't waffle. So I like him picking it up the rest of the way, getting his act back together. Maybe not the kind of numbers he posted last year, but I think well above average quarterback numbers. Might be a decent buy low candidate if you need a quarterback, depending on the, you know, whoever has him, what their quarterback situation is. Yeah, if I had to bet one way, I think he's going to be a top five fantasy quarterback the rest of the way.
I tend to side with you on that one, JC. I was looking up some numbers the other day. It's been a while since Carolina has been on the outskirts of the playoffs looking in, but in Cam Newton's rookie season, when Carolina had very little to play for, he was still a top five fantasy threat overall. So I wouldn't be scared off by the fact that Carolina could be looking toward next season come Sunday afternoon. The NFC East showdown, Carson Wentz versus Dak Prescott, Sunday Night Football. This promises to offer plenty of intrigue, but maybe not plenty of points. The point total is at 43. Dallas 4.5-point favorites. JC, do the Eagles build off that defensive dominance against Sam Bradford last week? And what about this Dak and Ezekiel Elliott show? What can that do coming off the bye? And Dez Bryant back now too, of course.
Yeah, wow. A lot of questions to be answered here. So Philadelphia, great defense. Can't, you know, avoid them all. And then all of a sudden, no, Philadelphia's defense isn't that great. You can score on them. And Washington and Detroit scoring on them. So, and now all of a sudden they look unstoppable again. So I don't know what to tell you on here other than I would play your Cowboys if you normally play them. Dak, I think, is a guy that you it's probably iffy every week anyway if you'd play him. But if he's your best option, feel free to play him. Zeke, you got to play him every week. I don't care who you'll kick yourself if you ever sat him out, and I don't know who would. So you go with him. Dez Bryant might be, you know, there's six teams on a bye this week. So if you have Dez Bryant on your roster, I think you got to play him. A guy like Jason Witten is a guy I might stay away from. Cole Beasley has been very productive. Doesn't get a lot of fantasy love, but I probably those are the kind of guys I would shy away from. But go ahead and play Dan Bailey, and maybe even play that Dallas defense if let's say you have the Ravens defense or the Rams defense. Philadelphia has a rookie quarterback, and a lot of times he plays like a rookie. He did not have a great day last week, but the Philly defense bailed him out.
Yeah, no doubt. There's some interesting layers to this one. What about the Eagles' skill position talent for Carson Wentz? It's kind of a muddled mess in the backfield, JC. Ryan Matthews fumbled again last week. There hasn't been a lot of consistency. I think Josh Huff was the leading receiver last week. There's been some rumors that they could be in the market for maybe a Torrey Smith or an Alshon Jeffrey. Is there anyone in Carson Wentz's arsenal that you feel like you can trust consistently moving forward?
I'm really surprised that he has not established a rapport with Zach Ertz. To me, a tight end is a rookie quarterback's best buddy, and Zach Ertz is a great receiver. Maybe he's still banged up a little bit. I don't know. That surprises me a little bit. Jordan Matthews, I waived him in a league. I mean, I'm just so tired of it. And when they do, have any kind of production offensively, it's widely distributed. There's not a lot of fantasy love here. The defense, I think, is good. After that, Arthur, I'm not sure who you'd play from the Eagles.
Right. With all due respect to Darren Sproles, one of the great, multi-purpose talents of this generation, when he's the most reliable running back in that backfield, that kind of says it all about the Eagles. I will say, Jordan Matthews, I can't think of a lot of players I trust less in fantasy football, but if you're able to waive him, I'm guessing that is a pretty decent wide receiving core you got there.
Well, it's a small league. It's a family league. It's the one where I play my mother-in-law, I actually waived him to pick up Jeremy Maclin. And I just looked at the upcoming schedules, and I just thought, it's 6-1. I'm not going to play either one of them. So went ahead and did that.
On the way out, we are going to give our bold fantasy calls for the week. But before we do that, we'd be remiss if we didn't discuss the Halloween Horror Show at Soldier Field Monday night. The division-leading Vikings visit the cellar-dweller Chicago Bears. Jay Cutler is back. That could be temporary against that Vikings pass rush behind a pair of backup guards. But, JC, tell me something good about this fantasy matchup. Who do you like, if anyone at all?
The good thing is the doorbell will keep ringing for trick-or-treaters, so you won't have to watch most of the game. From a fantasy perspective, this one's pretty much – they don't get much easier than this. You have the lowest-scoring team playing the team that yields the fewest number of points. So that should tell you right away that the Bears, every one of your Bears, it's a negative matchup. Mm-hmm. Alshon Jeffrey might get a little bit of a boost because Jay Cutler's back. You figure he's going to try to throw him a couple jump balls. That might be the only good news that I could think of. Jordan Howard has really fallen off the table lately, and Kadeem Carey's getting more carries, and then Jeremy Langford's coming back. So you don't even know what to like there. And then Minnesota's offense hasn't been great.
Brutal.
Kyle Rudolph, probably a really good play after that. The Vikings defense, load them up. If you could start them four times, start them four times, because I think they're going to have they're everybody's number one defense this week. This is a tough matchup for the Bears. It's just not a lot to like.
When you said doorbell will be ringing, I had in my head Jay Cutler's bell will be ringing constantly against this pass rush, but we don't make concussion jokes on this podcast. No. Let me ask you, though, on the way out, Stephon Diggs, someone that is going to form any semblance of consistency, it seems like aside from that four-week stretch as a rookie year and then a two-week stretch to start this season – he's been pretty disappointing. Do you think he may be able to turn it on again?
I do think he may. He's a talented guy, and Sam Bradford is not a bad quarterback, so there's the opportunity there. I guess I'd look at it like this. If he's on your roster, keep him. Hopefully you don't have to start him, and hope he comes back. If somebody waives him, pick him up. But you know, he's not a guy I would give up a lot for in a trade or something like that. I think it's a wait-and-see type of guy who has some opportunity, but I there's certainly nothing at this point that would point toward him being a real viable fantasy option, but there is a possibility.
Yeah, he's been a bit of a tantalizing guy for the better part of 2 years now. One more guy, just to bury in the back of your mind as far as the Vikings go, Jerick McKinnon is banged up with an ankle this week. It could be the week that Ronnie Hillman finally gets an opportunity. No, you're not going to roll the dice and put him in your lineup, but depending on the severity of that McKinnon injury, we should remind everyone, Ronnie Hillman had almost 1,000 yards rushing for the Broncos last year, and I think this Vikings offense is at the point where it's looking for any boost that it can get, and then back to the Bears quickly. It's got to be frustrating for Alshon owners. Finally, Cutler returns, and then Alshon gets maybe the hottest cover corner in football in Xavier Rhodes. Yeah. But it is worth mentioning, Alshon has had some pretty darn good meetings against Xavier Rhodes. And although he's made a lot of progress, the Vikings corner, I feel like you have to have Alshon in your lineup, especially with Cutler's kind of, you know, past dependency on him. So we'll see. The Vikings are 5.5-point favorites. That is 40.5 point total, the lowest of the week, I do believe. And that rounds out the Week 8 preview. JC, do you have a bold prediction for us for Sunday or Monday?
What a perfect segue from our last game. Yes. This is a guy who seems to always score against the Bears, Matt Asiata. Without McKinnon in the lineup, you know Minnesota is going to win the field position battle. That's going to lead to some short fields, and that's going to lead to some goal line plunges, and who better to do it than Matt? So I'm predicting 2 touchdowns for Matt Asiata.
All right, you heard it there. Matt Asiata is a touchdown machine. He has been historically, and apparently he will do that a little bit Monday night. I'm going to stay in the NFC North, but go back to the Packers, excuse me. The Green Bay is still trying to figure out what's going on with the backfield. It was Ty Montgomery last week, a converted wide receiver, but I think after a big layoff and a full week for Nile Davis to get in the playbook, I think they're going to find a way to work him into the backfield this week. And after Ty Montgomery turned in a nice WR2 performance last week, I'm going to say Nile Davis is an RB2 this week for you. So, look, that's a guy you may still be able to go out there and get off waivers. And I would just tell you he's very talented and now has a really nice opportunity. So Nile Davis may be a name to consider. That is going to wrap up the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Podcast for Week 8. In John Solly's absence, we had our fantasy football expert, JC Talon. As always, I am your host, Arthur Arkish, our great producer, Dan Mott. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll be back with you for one more week without John Solly next week, and then we'll be back to a full boat show 2 weeks from now. Good luck this weekend, and go Cubs.